Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. President Trump recently signed executive orders shrinking the size of Bear's Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments. These orders reduced the monuments by about 90%, or nearly 3 million acres. The president also disbanded the Bear's Ears Commission, which facilitated consultation with five tribes in the area. Environmental groups call these actions illegal and worry that affected public lands will now be open to mining and mineral leasing. Supporters of the reductions say the monuments needed to be right-sized and that multiple uses of federal land can now be restored. Later in the program, we'll be talking with Steve Block, legal director of the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. Right now, we'll hear from Utah House Speaker Mike Schultz. This part of the program, we are talking with Utah House of Representatives Speaker Mike Schultz. Speaker Schultz, thanks so much for taking some time with us.
Tom, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be with you.
So we want to talk about these reductions in the Bear's Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments. President Trump recently signed a couple of executive orders reducing those monuments some 90% or nearly 3 million acres. I know that you support this action. Tell me why.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this because I do think that this is so important to have this discussion. And I'd like to start off by maybe just setting the record straight a little bit, because I've heard and seen so much misinformation out there that I'd like to really try to hit on. And so let's start there, because over the last month, I've heard people saying that President Trump's executive order means that Utah's public lands are going to be destroyed or sold off, or, you know, we're now going to go out and start drilling for oil and gas in those areas. And it's just simply not true. So let me just say, our position starts with protecting the resources the Antiquities Act was written to protect. We all agree on that. We want these resources protected. These are some treasures, national treasures, certainly treasures to Utah. We fully believe that they should be protected. But I think the argument comes around what size should this be. And the law, the Antiquities Act, specifically requires that monuments be limited to the smallest area compatible with that protection. And when you look at the sheer size of these monuments that was created by President Obama and President Clinton, 1.3 million acres for Bear's Ears, 1.9 million acres for Grand Staircase. These are sizes in which has never been seen or never even been heard of. Most monuments are, you know, 1 to 2,000, couple thousand acres tops. And so in reducing these sizes, I mean, they're still some of the largest monuments in the country, and certainly here in Utah, even after the reductions that President Trump made. So we can still protect these archaeological treasures while also allowing the public better access and more active stewardship, so the Utahns can enjoy our amazing public lands. Utah is a public land state. We want to keep it that way. We're dedicated to keeping it that way. And that's why we're so passionate about this, because under the monuments, it sets up pathways to start closing down certain areas of the monuments and not allowing as much access. And that's what is sad to the majority of us that are supporting these reductions.
So these lands are still public lands, but different protections, I think, maybe address that. And you said that the people won't rush in immediately to you know, to drill, et cetera. But there are some worries that now some of these lands are open to that.
Yeah, and that's just simply not the case. These lands will enjoy the same protections that they've had for centuries, and will continue to be protected. One, there's no oil and gas drilling that's going to be happen on Bear's Ears or on Grand Staircase. There hasn't been in the past, and then there's not going to be going into the future. And the archaeological treasures and some of those beautiful landscapes, there's also already laws that protect drilling and mining and whatever else might happen in those areas. But I think some of the things that concern us is the way the Antiquities Act has been abused under President Obama and President Biden in expanding it well beyond just protecting antiquities. And let me give you an example of what I mean by that. And we're seeing it play out right now in real life. So the Bear's Ears Monument said that it's, the original declaration said that it, you're supposed to protect pinyon juniper trees. Well, let's just understand what a pinyon juniper tree is. Yes, they're native, and yes, we want them on the resource. However, they become a monoculture. If they're not managed, they become that they will overtake all of the landscapes. And when a pinyon juniper starts to take over the landscapes, it pushes out all the other grasses, all the other forbs, all the things that our wildlife herds really rely upon. And not only do they push out that habitat, they also push out soak up all the water. And so the springs and seeps that usually had been there end up drying up. And that's particularly true in the drought seasons that we're seeing right now. It's exacerbated even more so than what it otherwise would be. And so, you know, we would like to manage these. Pinyon junipers are important, but we can have both. We can have the best of both worlds. They do play an important role in it. But if we let them be overgrown, that's less water that ends up in our streams and in our lakes and in our rivers. And in some cases, now this isn't the case for Bears Ears, but in other parts of the state where Bears Ears is, it does take water out of the streams and out of the rivers, and thus exacerbating the problem with the drought that we're seeing. And then you have a situation like the Babylon fire. The reason we saw the Babylon fire grow so fast and grow so big is because the lack of management of the pinyon juniper trees. And so you hate to see that type of devastation happen across the landscapes. And when you create a monument, one, I don't think it's legal because, it was never intended to use the Antiquities Act to protect pinyon juniper trees. But when you use that type of approach and you can't manage these lands, then you set yourself up for these types of disasters that we're seeing play out right now across the state. And you can just look at the Babylon fire and see what we're talking about there.
Well, to ask just one more question on the potential drilling. No potential drilling or leases on the land that remains under the reductions as a national monument, but the lands that are no longer in those national monuments, are those potentially open to leasing extraction?
Well, they potentially could be, and but the reality is there's not oil and gas there, and there's a reason why oil and gas has never been developed in these lands and in these areas. It's because they're just not there. And so, no, yes, while some of the areas could be opened up for that, the reality is they're not going to be, and just simply like they were never opened up before because the oil and gas is not there.
So you're saying that President Clinton's, President Obama's use of the Antiquities Act for some of these purposes that they stated is illegal. Some on the other side are saying that once a national monument was established under the Antiquities Act, it cannot be reduced. They say that's illegal. What's your view?
Well, I certainly understand that argument. I would disagree with that argument. I think it's very important to actually read what the plain language of the Antiquities Act is that is passed by Congress that gave President Obama and President Biden that authority. So let me just read what Congress actually wrote. In all cases, the monument shall be confined to the smallest area compatible with the proper care and management of the objects to be protected. I'm sorry, but 1.3 million acres for Bears Ears and 1.9 million acres for Grand Staircase is not the smallest size possible to be compatible. And so we're continuing the lawsuit on these sizes. Either way, we're confident that we will be successful in these lawsuits because the President Obama and President Biden never had the authority to create these large monuments. Again, you go back and look at, and I'll just read some of them. Rainbow Bridge, 180 acres. Tippinogus Cave, 250 acres. Hovenweep, 765 acres. Jurassic, 250 acres. Cedar Breaks National Monument, 6,000 acres. Natural Bridges, 7,000 acres. These monuments are designated to be very small and only protect the resource or the archaeological sites themselves. And President Obama and President Clinton expanded that significantly, and that's why we're very confident that we will win the lawsuit as things go forward.
I think something that I'm seeing all sides agree on is that the system is broken, and you know, yo-yoing back and forth, establishing, reducing. Very well, maybe if a Democratic president is elected 2028, 2029, we'd have restoration of these to original acreage. How would you like to see that solved? How best to solve that?
Yeah, we'd like to sit down across the table. We've offered that to the Biden administration to sit down and find a compromise and do what's best for the land, do what's best for the citizens. Look, again, I want to be very clear. We have a lot in common. We want these archaeological sites protected, but we want it done right. And a couple of our concerns are, one, for decades, the Forest Service and the BLM have not had the resources they need to protect it. Under the monument, you create a whole bunch of new restrictions, but yet the funding wasn't there to cover those new restrictions. And so you have to ask, are they really being protected? So let's find a way to come together. That would be our goal. We offered that to President Biden. Unfortunately, we were told no on that. But one thing that we're not going to stand for is continuing to close down these public lands. And I'll just give you some examples. You know, on Bears Ears, you know, under the management plan, dogs had to be on a leash. Like, that's not what our public lands are about in Utah. That's why we want to go out. It's not like we're having a sit in the middle of a city or whatever. I mean, you got animals roaming all over Bears Ears at National Monument. Why do dogs have to be on a leash in the whole for the whole Bears Ears? Like, these are the types of things. Camping, it sets up a plan to come in and restrict areas where you can be camped on and areas where they can't be camped on. That's not what was ever anticipated. These are our public lands for people to go out and enjoy, and that's what makes it unique, is to go up on a hike and just find a spot to camp. Like, that's what we want these lands to be. And mountain biking, for example, you know, approximately 775,000 acres were designated a remote zone. That designation limited the area to non-motorized and non-mechanized travel, which means activities like mountain biking would not be allowed. Again, cutting off the public access. That's what these management plans are designed to do. Rock climbing, for example. Existing climbing routes are going to be reviewed for possible closure. And you know, that's not what our public lands are about in Utah. It's why we love Utah, is because we have the opportunity to go out and enjoy these lands. And we want to continue to do that. Yes, those sensitive areas, we want protected 100%. Again, you know, we agree there. And that's what President Trump's new designation does, is it takes those areas and protects them. Again, these are still some of the largest monuments in the nation, and certainly here in Utah, with Bears Ears, I think, around 120,000 acres, and Grand Staircase around 180,000 acres. These are still some of the biggest monuments out there, and we want those areas protected, and we will continue to work to make sure that those areas are protected.
I want to follow up on uses of public lands. There's disagreement among sides on, some would say that too many uses, too many people out there, goes against a goal of preserving these lands for future generations. Others, of course, I think you'd probably be more on this side, is that there are more uses that can be had. What's a good mixture, do you think?
Well, I think we had the good mixture figured out. So, yes, when these monuments were created, we saw a huge spike in people wanting to come and enjoy them and seeing them. And so you actually added more traffic to the area. And the thing that was sad that makes a lot of us concerned about that is the resources weren't there to protect the things that we should protect. And so that's our hope, right? Let's create these 100,000 to 200,000 acre monuments, not 1 to 2 million acre monuments. Let's actually have the resources to protect those things that we all agree should be protected. But then let's allow the rest of the millions of acres to be used and enjoyed by the public, just as they were before. And so I think there can be a balance. There should be a balance. We're open as state leaders to sitting down, even with the other groups that oppose President Trump's size, and saying, let's find a way to come together. But unfortunately, the other side's treated it like a zero-sum game, and President Biden treated it like a zero-sum game and took it all the way back. And so we're willing to sit down and try to work together to find a compromise. We will continue forward with the lawsuit because we do feel we have good, solid legal grounds on the size of these monuments, so that the yo-yo can't continue to happen. But we would be happy to sit down and try to find a pathway forward, and certainly open to that.
What a zero in on recreation. There are some guides and outfitters who are decrying this reduction. Blue Ribbon Coalition, Motorized Recreation Advocacy Group, is applauding it. That takes me to economic effects of this. There's at least one analysis. This was Headwater Economics. The economies of Grand and Kane counties grew after designation of Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. Other studies show San Juan County saw growth in income after Bear's Ears. So that broader topic, maybe you could address recreation and the economy.
Yeah, so it's contradicting to what your earlier question was. So the sides that say they want limited access, well, obviously we've seen the economy grow because of that, right? And so you're seeing more people wanting to come and be on the landscapes and enjoy the landscapes. And I don't blame them. I mean, these are some of the most beautiful, pristine areas in the world. And to have this in our backyard, I certainly don't blame them. But when you're saying, well, you know, we want to limit the use, but then you're creating these monuments and you're bringing more people in, that's concerning to us. And so I think there's a balance there, and that's why we worked closely with the local governments in the areas, the counties, to come up with these the sizes of these monuments. There was a lot of input from the county officials that would be impacted in a positive or a negative way on the economics of this, and these are the ones, these are the sizes that they recommended as well. So there is consensus with our local governments around there, and the economics in those counties with those local governments. And so it is something that's important. We want to have tourism. We want to, you know, we came up with a Mighty Five campaign about the five national parks here in the state of Utah, and we view this as a positive with these national monuments. Again, there's still 120,000-180,000 acres are still huge areas for these monuments. And so I think we can have and find the balance that we need to find under these new guidelines.
What have you talked about the tribes? The president, as part of his actions, disbanded the Bear's Ears Commission. That was a commission that facilitated consultation with the five tribes in that area on management of these lands. How important is it to consult with the tribes, and is there still a mechanism to do that?
Well, I completely understand why many of the tribes care deeply about Bear's Ears. They have a reason to want these sites protected. The question isn't whether or not those sacred places deserve protection, because they absolutely do. The question is whether or not protecting those places requires designating over 1 million acres, and or whether or not we can protect the sites by allowing better access with better management across the landscapes. And so, you know, one of the things I was under the Biden administration, when the tribe put forward their management plan, and literally the Biden administration was ready to adopt that tribal management plan, it closed off almost 1 million acres of land that people couldn't even go on. They couldn't even go for a hike on. They couldn't even go out and access that. I'm very grateful to the Biden administration for recognizing that was too far. And so I think on the other side, you know, we would hope that the tribal leaders would work closely with us in helping us determine what that is. As a state of Utah, we're open to that. We want to be collaborative with them. We recognize the ancestors that they have that spent a lot of time on those lands. And it is a cool part of the cultural aspects and archaeological heritage. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, that not every acre surrounding those resources has to be managed the exact same way. Let's work to find that right balance. We're committed to that as the state. In regards to the Trump administration, I can't speak to the Trump administration, but we will be committed to that as the state, trying to find what that balance is.
I want to, near the end of the conversation here, I want to just kind of get your general view of these public lands. Of course, Utah has a big percentage of federal lands. Just in general, would you like to see those lands stay federal, be moved to the state, private? I guess there's different answers for different areas, but just in general, what would you like to see happen?
Well, if I could predict if I could have what I think is the best case scenario for these lands, it would be to have the state manage them. And whether they're owned by the state or not owned by the state, I think that's up for determination. But it's really been unfortunate to me. So I grew up on Utah's public lands 40, 50 years ago. I saw how they were managed 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. I got to reap the benefits. And as I take my kids back to these same public lands, it makes me sick to see the mismanagement of these public lands. And so, you know, we care about these lands deeply. You know, this nonsense that Utah wants to sell off our public lands is just completely false. And I'll give you a couple examples of that. You know, we just recently purchased 50,000 acres in the Bookcliffs. The state of Utah did purchase those lands to make sure that they maintain public accessible lands instead of being sold off into the private space. Same thing with Cinnamon Creek. 4 or 5 years ago, we purchased Cinnamon Creek up in Cache County and Weber County, Cache County, I can't remember, up on Monte Cristo, 8,000 acres so that we could keep it open to the public. In Morgan County, around East Canyon, where the fire is currently burning right now, we just purchased 3,000 to 4,000 acres 2 years ago in that area and opened it up to the public to be public land so that people can go out and enjoy and recreate it. We just purchased the Black Hawk Duck Club out along the shores of the Great Salt Lake. It was slated for development. We wanted to preserve that, open it up to the public, and make sure the development couldn't encroach onto the Great Salt Lake. And so these narratives that are being spun that we don't care about our lands or here in Utah or we want to sell off the lands, it just is simply not true. And it's being pushed by groups and organizations that have an agenda of their own. And so we want to manage these lands because we can. In Beaver, on looking at that fire just a couple weeks ago, and the areas where the Forest Service had went in and managed and thinned out the forest, it gave the fire crews an opportunity to get ahead of the fire, or in some cases, actually, that's where they stopped the fire from progressing. And so we know that the management works, and we don't have to see those types of floods that we saw that went through and destroyed so many homes and families and businesses and in Beaver and their water systems and everything else. We don't have to have it that way. And my biggest fear is wait till we get a big fire. We're seeing something similar right now with the Rock Creek fire along the Wasatch Front on some of these Forest Service lands that are not managed. And then you have the rains come and they come down and go down some of the canyons into the Wasatch Front. Imagine the homes and devastation that those things could cause. We can manage these lands better. We have the ability to do that. That's what we're wanting to do here as state leaders in the state of Utah, is manage these lands in a way that's productive, that keeps them beautiful, keeps them protected, and we don't see these devastating wildfires that we're seeing right now.
Well, we have to leave it there, out of time for this segment. We've been talking with Utah House Speaker Mike Schultz. Thank you so much for taking some time.
Thank you for having me, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. As you know, President Trump signed executive orders a while back shrinking the size of Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments. These orders reduced the monuments by about 90% or nearly 3 million acres. The president also disbanded the Bears Ears Commission, which facilitated consultation with five tribes in the area. We heard earlier in the program a conversation recorded yesterday afternoon with Utah House Speaker Mike Schultz on one side of this issue. We'll get the other side now with Steve Block, legal director with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. Steve Block, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Tom, thank you for having me on this morning.
So I know you want to rebut some specific points that Speaker Schultz brought up, but just at first here, just in broad strokes, why do you oppose these reductions?
Well, let me hit on two points. You know, first of all, the Antiquities Act, which was the federal law that President Biden used to restore the Grand Staircase Escalante and the Bears Ears National Monuments to their full glory at 1.9 and 1.3 million acres. That law specifically authorizes the president only to establish national monuments. So we refer to it as a one-way ratchet. It does not give the president the authority to attack or diminish or outright eliminate a national monument. Plain and simple. And so what President Trump has done here now twice is unlawfully attack these monuments and downsize them. And that's why we're challenging that. And then the second piece is, of course, the reason that these national monuments were established in the first place is to protect for current and future generations the outstanding and remarkable values that are literally found across those landscapes. And so that, you know, that second point, I suppose, is really the driving factor here. We're working tirelessly to undo the Trump attacks because of the resources that are owned by all Americans that are at risk from those actions.
We'll talk about the Antiquities Act. Those on the other side are saying that, yes, establish monuments, but they're saying the language in the Antiquities Act directs the president to establish the kind of the minimum acreage to protect some of these sites. What do you say about that?
Well, you know, that's just revisionist history. So the Antiquities Act was passed in 1906. Within 2 years of the passage of the act, President Teddy Roosevelt established Grand Canyon National Monument at over 800,000 acres. Mount Olympus National Monument, also established by President Roosevelt, came in at over 650,000 acres. Katmai National Monument in Alaska was over 2.3 million acres, and that was established in 1930. So, and I could go on. The list is, the acreage is really bounced back and forth. There are, as the speaker said this morning, small monuments. There are also landscape level monuments. Those two things can be true and stand side by side. So when you hear from Speaker Schultz that the full size of the Grand Staircase and the Bears Ears National Monument are too big and that there's never been a monument that landscape level, that's simply false.
I want to move next to level of protection. Of course, these lands remain, even after reduction, these lands remain public lands, but the protections differ. Speaker Schultz said yes, that you know, drilling could happen, but he said it probably won't. What are your concerns with the change in protections?
Well, I appreciated hearing that statement from the speaker and, you know, his candor, because he's right, because the lands that Trump has unlawfully cut out of the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase. And let's all be clear here. The Grand Staircase was reduced by over 90%. So from 1.9 million acres to 181,000 acres. And the Bears Ears National Monument from 1.3 million acres to 121,000 acres. And that many, if not all, of the lands that were cut out of those monuments are now open to new hard rock mining claims, as well as slightly down the road, I think, new leasing for oil, gas, and coal. And in the Trump administration years, the Bureau of Land Management has less and less discretion not to lease lands for oil and gas and coal. You know, that's just So it just feels very disingenuous for the speaker to talk about how the resource isn't there. I mean, I tend to agree with him that the oil and gas is not in these monuments, though, of course, in the 1990s, that didn't stop ConocoPhillips from drilling several wells in the Grand Staircase. They turned out to be dry holes and they went home. But I think that's illustrative of what a part of the problem is, which is that large and small companies may or will go out and explore for oil, gas, coal. They may locate new hard rock mining claims, and those activities result in real damage on the ground. I mean, all you have to do is go out and look at the mining operations that occurred following Trump's initial attack on the Grand Staircase in Bears Ears. There were new mining claims located, and operators went out and moved dirt. And those scars are going to last for generations.
Before we talk about preservation and some other arguments, I want to loop back to Antiquities Act. This back and forth, establish the monuments, reduce it, establish it again, reduce it, may yet happen again in 2029 if we get a Democratic president. How do we stop that process?
Well, I'm going to push back on this notion of the ping pong. I think the common denominator here are the unlawful attacks by Trump. Americans rightly felt prior to Trump won and his attack on the Grand Staircase in Bears Ears in 2017 that a national monument designation was a durable act by the president to protect lands from threat. And Trump, like so many things, upended that. Biden restored the monuments, and Trump has attacked them again. So it's not that this is happening across the playing field. This is happening in Utah. Utah politicians like Speaker Schultz, like Senator Lee, like Governor Cox have exhorted the president to once again attack the national monuments, and he complied with those requests and, has done what he's done, and we are where we are. But we're going to work to see the monuments restored back to their original size, 1.9, 1.3. Congress, of course, can always act and legislate in that space, but we want to see that happen, if it would ever happen, from a position of strength. Let's get the monuments fully restored, and then we can talk about if there should be some kind of legislation.
Let's take that up right now, and I think we would all agree congressional action, if it were to happen, would be more durable. And you are, I think SUA is promoting America's Red Rock Wilderness Act. Tell me about that briefly.
Sure. So America's Red Rock Wilderness Act is a bedrock piece of legislation that was originally sponsored by Wayne Owens, a member of the House of Representatives from Utah. It's in the 119th Congress, the current Congress. If passed, it would designate roughly 8.5 million acres of wilderness in Utah on lands managed by the Bureau of Land Management. Those are large swaths of the Grand Staircase and Bears Ears National Monuments, and we think passing either America's Red Rock Wilderness Act in full or for Kane, Garfield, San Juan counties, the three counties that hold the two national monuments here, would go a long way to make sure that the sorts of objects that are at risk, the cultural sites, the fossils, the unique flora and fauna in the monuments are preserved for current and future generations.
So back to these monuments, whether in the original shape or now the reduced to size and therefore public lands out of the monuments, what should be the top priorities in managing these lands?
For the original monuments
For the
or for the
or yeah, maybe that and then talk about the current state of play,
Sure.
Which in which 90% of these lands are now not monument.
Right. Well, so when a president establishes a national monument, like President Biden did for Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante, the preservation of the monument objects is what we call them, that are listed in the proclamations. That is the priority for the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service. Normally, these are multiple use lands, but what the president says is these are special places that deserve heightened management and the preservation of those objects. Again, the unique plant and animals, the unique geology, the fossils, the cultural sites, that is the priority for the Bureau of Land Management. And the management plans that you saw finalized in the Biden administration for Grand Staircase and Bears Ears were intended to accomplish that goal. Now, that doesn't mean, though, contrary to what Speaker Schultz would have you believe, that does not mean that you're not allowed to go into these monuments. I think, the speaker should maybe spend a little bit more time outdoors and in southern Utah, and less time at the Capitol or out in his farm in Hooper. Because if you go down to these monuments, what you know is that you can take a motorized vehicle on hundreds of miles of dirt roads and trails in both Grand Staircase and Bears Ears. You can target shoot in the Grand Staircase. The majority of both national monuments are open to livestock grazing. You can hunt, fish, camp, hike, mountain bike throughout the monuments. And you can do all those things at the same time that the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, is tasked with preserving all the things that make those monuments so special. It's not a zero-sum game. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. But the monument designation does restrict certain activities. It means you can't take your vehicle any place you want. You can't ride your mountain bike any place you want. There are some sacred sites or special landscapes in these monuments where you may not be able to travel or do all the things you want, and that's out of the respect to the tribal nations, or it's simply the fact that if you drive over a fossil, for example, that fossil is going to be destroyed forever.
I want to talk about the tribes. So that one of the things President Trump did was dissolve, disband the Bears Ears Commission, and some of the tribes are saying that that's a slap in the face. It's it makes it harder for them to consult on these lands. In fact, Bears Ears famously was the result of a consultation with the tribes. Maybe talk about that piece of it a little bit.
Sure. Well, so the Bears Ears National Monument was really established at the urging of the five tribal nations that make up the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition. So the Navajo Nation, the Hopi Tribe, the Zuni Tribe, Ute Indian Tribe, and Ute Mountain Ute. And those tribes are recognized in the Obama and Biden proclamations as having special status that the Bureau of Land Management was to consult with the Bears Ears Commission, which involved a representative of each of the tribes. And the tribes were going to be an active part in the co-stewardship of the monument. The plans were really groundbreaking in the sense that they were the conduit for what's called traditional indigenous knowledge to seep through the plan, and let's learn and benefit from the thousands of years of tribal knowledge for how to manage these landscapes sustainably. And all of that was cast aside by the Trump attacks on Bears Ears. This latest attack, the July 2026 proclamation that significantly reduced the size of Bears Ears, specifically terminated the Bears Ears Commission and told the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service that they could not consult with the commission, that they had to consult instead on a one-on-one basis with each of the nations. It's also worth pointing out that last year, the Bears Ears Commission wrote to the Trump administration's Interior Department, said they wanted to meet, said they wanted to understand what the concerns were about the monument. And the Trump administration wrote back and said, essentially, we hear you. We understand that you have ties to these landscapes, and we commit to meet and talk and sit down with you before any action occurs. And that was yet another unfulfilled promise. And there were no such meetings held. And so I just want to flag for people that, we think about the Bears Ears, of the two monuments, we think of Bears Ears as having more significant ties to the tribal nations. The Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument also has an intertribal coalition, six nations who were also deeply involved in the management planning process for the Grand Staircase Escalante. And that plan was similarly slated to incorporate traditional indigenous knowledge into the day-to-day management of the plan. And that's also been undone now.
I wonder if you could talk about preservation, because there trade-offs, I guess, in the minds of some. Multiple use is seen, different definitions for depending on which side you're on, but the emphasis on preservation, and is a monument needed for that?
Well, the Antiquities Act is a grant from Congress to the president. It's a limited delegation of a piece of Congress's authority under the Property Clause to establish a national monument to a size that the president deems the smallest necessary to accomplish the goals of that monument. And here, the Bears Ears National Monument and the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument are landscape level protections around these cultural and living landscapes. So in terms of the size, I think the size makes sense for the landscapes that we're dealing with. I mean, in almost any other state in the country, these would be the most heralded, revered public lands. And yet Utah politicians, on the one hand, offer some half-hearted statements about how they love public lands and resources. At the same time, they have launched unrelenting attacks on the future of federal public lands in our state. Multiple use. Well, and so again, national monuments are no longer multiple use lands. The priority for those lands is the preservation of the objects identified in the proclamations. Those we talked about earlier, you can still do many of the things that you can do on your more routine Forest Service and BLM lands in the monuments. You just can't do them everywhere or all the time. And so there is a balancing act that we have to strike. Of course, so much of our state we're so lucky as Westerners to have, and as Utahns, to have federal public lands in our state. And what that means is you can hunt, fish, hike, camp, take a motorized vehicle in so many corners of the state. And nothing is changing that. In these places, there are higher priorities to make sure that these landscapes are preserved for current and future generations.
There's about a minute left. I want to close with this, as I did with Speaker Schultz. To give him a chance to talk about how he, and he's not the only one among elected officials, Republicans, he would like to see many of these lands under state control, not federal control. I expect you have a different view. So why?
Well, I do. I think the speaker said the quiet part out loud, which was that, I mean, first of all, that they do want to seize control of federal public lands for their own uses and purposes. These are federal public lands owned by all Americans, managed on their behalf by the federal government. If you live in Los Angeles, Chicago, Omaha, South Carolina, these are your lands, and the state of Utah is trying to take them from you. And you don't have to look very far to, in the past, to see Senator Mike Lee, Representative Celeste Molloy, introducing legislation in Congress to force the sale of federal public lands. And you don't have to look much further back to see the Speaker and the Governor launching litigation in the United States Supreme Court, saying it's unlawful for there to be federal public lands in much of our state and to force the sale of those lands. I mean, these are the facts. And so when the Speaker talks about what he hopes will happen, that the state is going to control them but not sell them, people should be very mistrustful of those sorts of statements, because when you look under the hood, the facts speak louder than the rhetoric here. And the facts are that Speaker Schultz, the governor, Senator Lee, Representative Molloy have launched a series of unrelenting attacks to literally unmake the system of federal lands in Utah and across the country. And that's where we at the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, many of our partners, and I think many listeners here, are working every day to stop.
Well, we'll leave it there. We're out of time. We've been talking with Steve Block, Legal Director with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And thanks, everyone, for listening to Access Utah Today.